title again. Maine's chapter leader, I guess, right? Of Skiers and Snowboarders for Christ, Mark Reguilio. If you can stand up and people can see who you are. You've probably seen him around here a little bit. You can actually work your way up if you want. And the reason we're asking Mark to preach today is really twofold. One, it's great to have a break. But second, and more importantly, we have in the past supported SFC financially and or with other resources like the building. And what we'd like to be able to do is Mark's going to talk a little bit about that and weave that into a sermon for us. And what I want all of us to be considering is how we would want to personally financially support this work. And so we're not going to take an offering today. So what we are going to take one next week for them specifically. So we'll do our regular offering. We'll take a second offering for SFC next week. So you'll have time to think about that, pray on that, prepare for that, and be ready to do what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. So, Mark, we look forward to what you have for us. Thanks.
All right. Good. All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks, everyone, for having us here today. And I'm not gonna lie, I've never done a full sermon, so this is a first for me. After Tom kind of asked me, I mean, I was kind of in shock at first, like, what do you want me to do? But I don't know. I think then I kind of had this piece. The Lord had just a couple of things that He's been teaching me over the last few years that I guess I'll share with you guys today, and hopefully it's helpful. So my name's Mark. My wife Shauna is here as well. So a lot of you guys know us, but just in case you don't, Shauna grew up going to this church. Her parents are Gene and Wendy Boucher, who you probably know. And I went to UMaine Farmington, and while I was going to school there, this was my home church for those 4 years. We have definitely an awesome connection with you guys. And of course, now as we come back and revisit family, you know, you're kind of our home away from home, our church away from our home church. We live down in southern Maine right now. So that's who I am. And I head up the local, we have a chapter in the state of Maine for Snowboarders and Skiers for Christ. So first off, I'm just going to share a little bit about Snowboarders and Skiers for Christ, and then we're going to move on to kind of a sermon portion. So Snowboarders and Skiers for Christ, it's an international organization. We work primarily by having chapters, again, kind of all over the world, and so we have a chapter here in the state of Maine. And we are an outreach and a ministry to skiers and snowboarders. And in particular, there's people who snowboard, and then there's snowboarders, right? There's people who ski, and then there's skiers, right? There's this subgroup of them that are totally just kind of obsessed, and they kind of get their identity from being a skier or a snowboarder. So Snowboarders for Christ, we shorten it SFC. So I'm going to say SFC from now on. SFC, we're really called to minister to kind of that core group of skiers and snowboarders. And so big picture, like the vision and mission of the organization as a whole is to be the light of Jesus to the ski and snowboard culture, and to bridge the ski and snowboard culture to Jesus, partnering with the local church. So right in the mission statement, the founders wanted that portion to be in there, partnering with the local church. We by no means ever want to replace churches. We don't want to replace the local church. We want to outreach, but then we want to plug people into the local church. So that's why I'm here today. And you guys have done an amazing job. In the past, again, like Tom says, we've been partnering with you guys really since day one. You've helped us out, and it's been great. Technically, like, there's about 50 different chapters around the world. We're in like 10 countries right now. What chapters try to do is they try to intentionally build relationships with the local ski and snowboard community. And then, we hold meetings and events to to, you know, whatever way best to be the light of Jesus to that local community. So it looks different for different chapters. Our chapter in Maine, just to give you a little idea of what we do. So we have these regular events throughout the season that we try to put on. So one event at Tikka Mountain, that's in Farmington, a little ski area down there. So we do pizza nights where we give free pizza and we invite any kids that want to come. And then we do a quick devotional Bible study, and then we just go and have fun and ride together, ski and snowboard together. We actually just had one of those yesterday. And so our next event is a Sugarloaf event. It's called the Sugarloaf Sunday Shred. And one Sunday a month, the SFC crew goes up and we help to lead a downhill worship service that happens at Sugarloaf. So there's a service that happens every Sunday there, but once a month, we go up and we put on kind of this more special Sunday Shred event. And so, yeah, there's a church service for any, you know, anybody who's up there for the weekend, or also people that are working up there that can't get off the mountain to go to church. We actually ride down the mountain together and we stop, make different stops, and you know, each stop there's a devotional, you know, super short, like 5-minute sermon type thing, prayer together, things like that. And then after that, we do a free lunch for anyone who's there. If they want to come, and then for the rest of the day, we usually have a little bit of a crew that we ride with for the rest of the day and just have a fun time with and build relationships. And then a new event this year. So yeah, this is brand new this year, Southern Maine Wax Nights. So waxing is like you tune your skis and snowboard. So we have a little group, back at our home church that they love skiing and snowboarding. So we put together this wax night. We just do food and we help them tune their boards up. And again, we do a quick Bible study there as well. And then we wrap everything up at the end of the season with a year-end retreat. So that's up at Sugarloaf. It's, you know, it's an overnight. It's like a full 24 hours where we kind of, all the different groups that come to the three different events, we invite them to come up. And usually we have some other helpers from like other SFC chapters that we ask to come and be speakers and help out. And that's really a time where we can dive in deeper. Usually our, you know, other events are particularly the Bible study portions are pretty quick, pretty, you know, not too deep, but at the end of the year retreat, we can really dive in and just get a little deeper. So that's pretty much what we do. I mean, other than those like specific events, I mean, the idea is just to sort of be a presence in the local ski and snowboard culture. We volunteer with a couple different, organizations and just to help them out too and be a presence. And you know, in between our events, we try to still, you know, keep relationships going and disciple younger riders. So that's pretty much what we do. How you can get involved, I don't know. We don't really need to focus too much on this, but, you know, you guys already are, like, because I kind of already touched on it, but you guys already are. You're already a partner church for us. A lot of you families, a lot of you kids, you guys, you know, come to the events and you're already part of it. So that's amazing. If this is your first time hearing about us, if you know of a skier or snowboarder who could benefit from this, definitely, you know, point him or her our way. Definitely continue to pray for us, please. We definitely need it. And you could stay connected. We have a bunch of different social media channels. If you're on social media, Facebook, Instagram, things like that, you could stay connected with us. And again, we're here regularly, you know, usually once a month at least, if not twice a month, especially during the winter. So at this, you know, at this church, so, you know, come and talk to Sean or I anytime. So, all right, I guess I'll roll into the sermon portion. I'm still, you know, we're going to talk about the Great Commission today and discipleship in particular, which, you know, obviously the Great Commission is definitely an influence for me, you know, in doing SFC. I just want to share some things that I'm learning. Like, I don't ever want this to come across that I have it all figured out. We're definitely just still learning. So I just want to, again, pass that on. So the Great Commission, making disciples. First of all, just quick context here, just in case you don't know, I'm sure most of you guys know, but, you know, the Great Commission is this. Jesus said these words, and these were sort of his last words that he said to his followers before he ascended into heaven. So that's kind of why, and it is a command, and so that's why it's called the Great, you know, Commission. This is an important important words here. You know, Jesus's last words. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Particularly I'm going to talk about, you know, making disciples. So first, just real quick, what is a disciple? Again, you know this, but just in case you don't, a disciple, you know, the typical definition, just a follower, a learner, someone who adheres to the teachings of another. So that's what we're talking about with disciples. And for us, it's making a disciple of Jesus, right? A follower of Jesus. So even though sometimes we have to get somebody to kind of, like, we have to teach somebody ultimately, right? We're teaching them or pointing them towards Jesus. And so I want to try to unpack two different questions. How do we go about making disciples? And then who do we disciple? And just keeping things really practical. Like, I can't, you know, 100% answer these questions for you, but I just want to unpack them a little bit and talk about, again, some of the things I've learned, some of the experiences with SFC. So first of all, how do we go about making disciples? Well, how did Jesus make disciples? So the basics, these are the basics. You guys probably have heard these, but small group, right? Jesus had 12 disciples. So with all of the influence and all of the power that Jesus had, to think that he only had 12, you know, real close disciples that he considered, you know, that he considered to be his disciples, his apostles, you know, that's pretty significant. And then even within those 12, people refer to like 3 or 4 of them as kind of like his inner circle or his closest friends. That's really significant of a man that had so much power. I'm sure he influenced so many other people. He preached to so many other people, and he, you know, he healed so many other people for sure. But, you know, there was this small group of 12 that he really shared his life with. And that brings us to the next part. He was all about personal relationships and doing life with people. There's a couple different, you know, I mean, all throughout his ministry, you can find, there's no one neat verse that kind of sums this up. It's all throughout, you know, his ministry. But one of the places that I found it was in the different passages where he calls those 12 disciples to himself, when he calls them to be followers. So, you know, one example, John 1:35-46, if you guys are going to want to kind of dive into that more this week, I will have it on the screen in a second. But you know, count how many times he uses the words "follow me" and "come and see." So I just kind of highlighted them up here. And in the other passages about when he calls his disciples as well, like it's all throughout this. And what he, you know, when he's saying "follow me," he's literally saying, like, leave what you're doing. Like, they were doing something, and he was like, leave what you're doing and come and, like, follow me around. Like, I'm going somewhere. Follow me to that place and hang out with me. Like, spend the next 24 hours with me. Like, that's what he was saying, you know, in a lot of these passages. So that's what "follow me" really meant. And then, you know, again, he used the words "come and see" a bunch of different times here. And so, yeah, he wanted people to actually come and experience what he was doing. He didn't just, you know, throw out a couple sentences to somebody. He didn't just, you know, speak one thing to them. He didn't just preach at them. He did those things, but he wanted them to come along, you know, for this ride and share, like, literally share life with him. Like, you know, his disciples lived along with him and traveled along with him. But yeah, so these are the basics, but they're really easy to forget. You know, when it comes to SFC, it's been really easy to forget these things. And I'm sure, you know, for you guys, when you're thinking about, you know, a church, you know, what you guys are doing at church, or, you know, a different out, if you're trying to do an outreach event, or you're thinking about your own personal life and how you're ministering to others, it's right. It's probably really easy to focus on numbers, you know, how big was our event, or how many people came. It's really easy to focus on that. And also, I think it's really easy to think that we just sort of need to toss the gospel out there, or we just need to broadcast it out there. We need to do that, but we also need to invest in people's lives. And we need to take the time to build a relationship with somebody, and to share, you know, to share life with them. So that's a little bit, that's definitely a lot, you know, a lot harder to do, you know, and it takes a lot more. The other part with kind of the how, you know, the how to it, and it also sort of transitions us into the who, is this point that evangelism and discipleship aren't completely separate things. They aren't two different things. And another way to say this is that you don't only disciple Christians. And this is something that, I don't know, for me, it was cloudy for a while. I don't know. And hopefully you relate to this, but I think there's something about the modern church today where we've kind of clouded this, and we think that, we think that when we're talking about discipleship, we're talking about people who are somebody who's already a Christian. We have to sort of, you know, get them to be, you know, go in deeper with their faith with Jesus, which is true. But we also, I think we also disciple people who aren't Christians. And it's, you know, it's not that you disciple somebody who's not a Christian, and then you evangelize to these other people, and then once they become Christians, then you disciple them. About 2 years ago, I just listened to a speaker who was talking about this, and I don't know, it just totally opened up my eyes and just gave me better clarity. And one of the things that he kind of threw out there was, so the 12 disciples, right when they started following Jesus, were they all quote unquote Christians? Were they actual Christians? I mean, it's definitely evident, if you read about the disciples and you follow their story, they definitely didn't understand fully who Jesus was, right from the get-go. Obviously they did after he died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. They definitely did after that. But throughout, you know, while Jesus was discipling them, while they were living along with Jesus, they didn't all fully understand it. I think when we think about evangelism, I think we can think about it as discipleship, building a relationship with somebody and kind of walking them through, you know, walking them through these things. And when we do that, we'll have, instead of them just hearing the gospel one time, you know, kind of be preached at them one time, if you do that, they're going to hear it from you multiple times. They're going to hear it from maybe other people that are, you know, that are in your church or in your group, whatever you're doing. They're going to hear it from multiple people from multiple different angles, right? That might speak to them better than another. And even more than just hearing it, they are going to, hopefully, right, they're going to actually see the gospel at work in your life. They're going to experience the gospel. So I think we're on to the who now. All right. So who do you disciple? So again, I can't answer this question for you 100%. But I'm just going to try to give some couple practical things to maybe help. So for me, I've always had this really strange connection with 1 Timothy 3:5. So I've been a snowboarder my whole life. As a kid, I was totally obsessed with snowboarding. And if I wasn't physically snowboarding, I was thinking about snowboarding. I was hanging out with my friends who snowboarded. I was reading the snowboard magazines, right? All this stuff. I was totally obsessed. And what happens is snowboarders kind of just naturally become part of your family, right? They just became a part of my family. It's sort of a similar thing that we might experience as Christians, right? You could be a across the country by yourself, like, you know, on a plane and you're at an airport, you don't know a single person, but like if you met somebody who was a Christian or you sat next to somebody who was a Christian, or you it's like you guys could be good friends, you could talk for a six-hour plane ride. It's like the same idea with a snowboarder. If I met a snowboarder across the country I didn't know, I mean, we could instantly have a friendship. And so I consider snowboarders to be my family. And so, or, you know, my extended family. And so this verse, right, 1 Timothy 3:5, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? So it's indirect, you know, it's not like this isn't a perfectly literal, you know, example for this in my life. But I don't know, I've always had this connection with it. And I've always sort of taken it as like, why would I reach outside of my own family? Well, like, if I'm not loving snowboarders, if I'm not caring for snowboarders, why would I move on from there? With your lives, like, think about, well, first of all, don't let me get you off track with what this verse is actually saying. This is literally talking about your family. So first of all, if you're struggling with, oh, who do I disciple, or who do I, you know, who do I evangelize to, or, you know, whatever that question might be for you, I mean, start with your actual literal family. I can do a much better job of that with Shauna, right? I can just better disciple Shauna. I think we could all probably do a better job of that. So start with your family. This week, think of something new that you can do to better disciple your family. And then after that, Shauna helped me make a little, here we go. So start with your family and then move out from there to, you know, friends, coworkers, kind of whoever is in that next circle. You know, the fact of the matter is you already have a relationship with them. You're already doing life with them. I mean, I think the most important thing, you probably ultimately, like, you genuinely care about these people. So if you genuinely care about, you know, your friends and your coworkers and neighbors, people you share life with, you know, that should probably be, there's probably opportunity there to share the gospel with them, to build a relationship with them and start to kind of point them towards Jesus. So got this picture here. Some of these guys are here with me today. But so this is actually from like our first season of SFC, and I think it's from our first season, and this was like 5 years ago, and, you know, I'm in there, and, you know, I'm like 10 years older than some of these kids, but, you know, we're able to connect through snowboarding, right? We're able to goof around and make this goofy photo, and, I mean, this is what we do at all our events. We have a lot of fun, and so, you know, we're able to do that because we have that shared connection with snowboarding. So it just makes it much easier when you have a starting place there to build a relationship off of. All right, so getting to the end here. I don't even know how long have I been going on here. Has it been too long? So we're almost done. But Jesus responded to those who showed interest in him. So there's this next. Luke 10:5-7 could be, you could do a whole sermon on this. So hopefully I'll just kind of give a brief synopsis. But over the last year, I've been learning about this concept of a person of peace from my home pastor. And the idea is, well, I'll read the verse first. So Luke 10:5-7, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. So it's actually pretty confusing. I mean, before when I read this, I didn't really understand what it was talking about. And there's more verses before and after that you can dive in deeper. But what I've sort of learned, and what a lot of people kind of think what's going on here. So this is Jesus. He's kind of commanding his followers to go out to these different towns. And to minister to those towns. And what he's saying is if you're asking around for a place to stay and you're trying to figure out like how can I plug into this community, there's going to be certain people who, and this is a big part of it, who God is already working in their life, and like God is already doing something in their life, and so there's going to be certain people that accept you in and who welcome you in, and not just welcome you in and not just somebody who will listen to you, but another like just interesting concept is they will actually like try to get involved and like serve you. So in this case, like they're going to be putting these people up and feeding them. And so, he says, do not keep moving from house to house. He says, stay there. So yeah, be on the lookout for a person of peace. So somebody who kind of shows up, they're interested in what you're, you know, interested in what you're talking about, and just kind of interested maybe in you and in this church thing that you keep talking about, and maybe they try to get involved. It might not look like, oh, hey, I want to come to church with you, but you know, it could be that they want to help out with something, or they have an interesting question. So be on the lookout for those people, and then stay with them, right, and keep that relationship going, and keep kind of pouring into them. All right. So last up, the Great Commission ends with, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So the most important thing with all this actually is that like God is the one at work here. I definitely didn't fully understand this last part of it until I started doing SFC. I mean, to me, it's sort of, you know, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It sort of sounds just like a nice sign off, you know, kind of like a typical, you know, what you'd expect Jesus to say. But I've definitely realized like, no, what Jesus is saying is like, no, I'm going to be working and you're going to be kind of along for the ride. Whether it's after each individual event or when it's after a full kind of season, a full winter, and like Sean and I are looking at each other and kind of taking a deep breath and reflecting on the season, oh man, what happened? Like the number one theme throughout all of that is God was at work. Like we have these expectations for events and for the season, and like usually they don't go, like our plans don't really work out and it doesn't go the way we thought. But when we look back on it, we say, oh wow, no, but God had his own plan there, and he was working. So, I think the last thing that I want to wrap up with is just a story, that we've experienced over the last few years that I think sort of brings some of this stuff to life, and I just hope it's encouraging for you guys. And so it's about, I'm going to use the name Brian. I don't know, I just, for a couple different reasons, I didn't want to use a real name. I'm going to use the name Brian, but I promise you this is a real person, a very real person, a very dear person to me and a lot of others in SFC. So I met Brian for the first time at Sugarloaf. I was riding with another younger friend from SFC, and he saw this friend in the lift line. He was all alone, and so we were like, hey, you know, you want to ride up the lift with us and let's ski together? And so, you know, he did that. And as we're going up the lift after I met this kid for the first time, he was about maybe 16 or 17 at the time, and he actually like pulled out a little flask of alcohol and kind of started sipping, you know, asking us if we wanted to. No, I don't. But you know, it's kind of a thing that people do college age, and I mean really I guess any age. It's kind of just like a thing that you do on the lift for some people that, you know, they just have a little flask. But yeah, I mean it really obviously like broke my heart to see this kid who was only like 16. You know, and the other thing is he was all alone. Like, you know, he was drinking alone, like at age 16. That's, you know, it was pretty sad. Yet really, you know, that was tough. But yeah, we had a great time though the rest of that day, just kind of skiing and snowboarding together. And then he started to, you know, we sort of saw him outside of that at different events. He goes to Tickham, he goes to Sugarloaf too. So I'd see him every once in a while. And then the following season. That summer, some of my friends who were involved with SFC who were friends with him told me that, you know, I should be praying for him because he had gotten into like this, some sort of an argument with his family, and he was actually either he left the house or he was kicked out of the house for maybe a week. You know, and they were just telling me he was just really distraught during his time. He was really stressed out. You know, he just wasn't himself. And so, you know, that sort of happened. But I think, you know, things went back to normal with his family, which was great. But then the next season, he showed up to one of the SFC events at Tickham. And this was the first actual event that he had been to. And he was, like, not making eye contact. And he was kind of in the corner. And he seems really, really nervous. But as I started to kind of set things up. And then he kind of came up to me. And he was like, oh, hey, are you involved with SFC? And I was just like, yeah, definitely. Like, I'm definitely involved with SFC, you know. And then, like, right there, I think because, you know, we had that friendship and we had that connection, he, like, instantly settled down. You know, he really felt like he was in an all right place. So yeah, he came to that event, and after that he started showing up at other events, and then he started to get really into photography, and he started to ask us, hey, can I come and, like, be the photographer for your event, and, you know, you guys can use the photos for, you know, your Facebook and all that. So, I mean, that was amazing. We were like, yeah, sure. And we were kind of blown away. Like, well, why is this kid wants to get involved? That's awesome. So, you know, that happened. And then he came to, this was over the course of a few seasons too. So this is a couple seasons later. And he came to the Sugarloaf event. And at the last stop of our Sugarloaf, the On Hill Church service, we opened the time up for prayer. And we kind of asked for prayer requests. And usually when you do that, you know, and maybe you guys have experienced, you open it up for prayer, there's usually like a solid 30 seconds of silence, and then maybe somebody like chimes in, you know, very silently. So, like, as soon as I opened it up, I swear, out of the back comes Brian, and he's like, he has this huge smile on his face, and he just goes, I'm just really thankful for this day, and I'm really thankful for this church service. And he's just like beaming. And like Sean and I kind of look at each other like, well, like, what the heck's going on? You know, and afterwards we're talking about, like, well, what? Like, that was a miracle. What just happened with Brian? That was awesome. So that happened, and then he came to our end of the season retreat at Sugarloaf, and I had a friend of mine come and be the speaker. And at the end, he did, the speaker did kind of, you know, everyone had their eyes closed, but he asked, you know, if people wanted to raise their hand who wanted to start a relationship with Jesus, you know, he did throw that out there. And my friend, the speaker, told me afterwards that Brian was one of the kids that raised his hand. And so that was, you know, that was amazing. And that was just this past spring and this past April. And so, yeah, over the summer, I felt like I needed to connect with him more and kind of figure out, like, man, where he's at, like, how can I help him? So I was able to see him a few times over the summer, which was great, but I don't know. I just didn't feel like I really, you know, I just didn't, I don't know. I just felt like I didn't get to that kind of that next step with him to find out where he was at. And then he actually shipped off to the armed forces this fall. So again, I was just, I don't know. I was just kind of worried, like, where is he at? I wonder what's going on with him. And so I actually just decided to, you know, text message him. It was about a month ago, maybe. It was like, it was maybe December or November. And I just kind of texted him, like, hey, how are you doing? Like, I didn't ask anything about God or about his faith. I just asked him how he was doing. And he, you know, and how he was doing in our forces. And he just, he said, like, the first thing, he didn't, no prompting from me, he was just like, hey, you know, I'm doing really good. Like, it's probably been the toughest thing of my life, you know, being in the service right now and, like, training. But to be honest with you, he's like, my faith is the only thing that's gotten me through. And he said he's been going to, they have these church services at, yeah, every Sunday. And he's like, I've been going to the church services. And he's like, they're the only things that are keeping me sane. And yeah, it was amazing to hear that from him. And again, like, he was like, that was all him. I wasn't even asking about God in the least bit. And he was just like, yeah, my faith is the only thing getting me through. It's the only thing keeping me sane. And yeah, he loves going to those church services and getting plugged in. So yeah, God is at work. Again, like, through this story, hopefully you can see, like, I mean, I just kind of made this friend, and we kind of made this friend, and he had these other friends who were Christians, and, you know, and, but ultimately, like, God was working in this kid's life, and he, you know, and he needed it, and God showed up. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's it. So thank you guys again very much for just all you've done with SFC over the years and, you know, all you're going to continue to do. And thanks for everyone who's gotten involved.